Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons on The Score.
But we have to get our sports back. I'm tired of watching baseball games that are 14 years old.
The McNeil and Parkin Show on 670 The Score.
We all want our sports back, right? We understand that. But to what degree are you willing to sacrifice common sense and morality to get your sports back? It was a question I did not think was going to be posed so quickly, Mac, but I have been operating whenever it's come up on this show, which has not been a ton. We don't talk a lot of college football or college sports in general on this show, but I have been operating by what I thought was conventional wisdom and just wisdom, which was college sports are the most complicated because in order to justify student athletes playing sports, they had to be students.
Mm-hmm.
So colleges had to be open, and you couldn't just say, well, it's not safe to be on campus because they're taking their classes online. So if it's not safe to be on campus, it's not safe to play college soccer, college volleyball, college football, whatever. There goes college soccer. Like, I thought that was fairly logical, right? I thought it was fairly logical. Without campuses being open, there would be no college sports. These athletes are not paid in the traditional sense. So it seemed very obvious to me.
Yes.
Apparently, that is no longer the obvious point of view on this. And I know that college football is big business, but this is the number one college football talk show in America, Paul Feinbaum's show with Brett McMurphy. Stadium, The Athletic, this guy has broken hundreds of college football stories over the course of his journalistic career. Here is Brett McMurphy to Paul Feinbaum on what the current thinking of conference commissioners is as it relates to whether or not college sports can happen without campuses being open.
You know, I'd reached out to athletic directors in the past few weeks, and so I wanted to go ahead and reach out to the commissioners and kind of get their take on this. And I had heard from my discussions with the athletic directors that there seemed to be a shift in thinking, that either the perception that was either correctly or incorrectly out there, that all of this, that the general student bodies would need to be on campus for us to have a college football season, was not accurate. And so I reached out to the commissioners and asked them, you know, in that scenario, again, it all depends on number one at the top. Health and safety, there's no way around that. That has to be 100% guaranteed. But if there's a scenario where the colleges would not offer on-campus classes, would they be opposed to having these student-athletes on campus taking their online classes and then participating in football? And there is some support behind that.
How?
Financially driven. Colleges are hurting. Colleges are trying to save their asses. There's universities needing help. So they're probably willing to compromise what, because you're right. If it's not safe for the student body to return, I don't know if there's much conversation here, if there's much counterpoint. Why would it be okay for 75, 85 athletes to get together and swap sweat and shower together and be around each other all the time? That makes zero sense. There's no logic to it. It's If it's not safe, then it's not safe.
Right. And, like, I get it, obviously, right? I'm asking the question somewhat rhetorically. I understand the argument would be money, right? Yep. When he says, like, and people are open to it. Yeah, I'm sure you want the revenue from Alabama football, Clemson football, Ohio State football. Like, of course. I understand that it is big business. But I don't, like, I hope that there is enough foresight for them to see that if you argue that that college football has to go forward because it is essential revenue-generating business, then the next part of that conversation probably should be the labor. Are they going to get compensated for generating all of that revenue? Like, how do you make the argument that they are not professional athletes operating a professional sports enterprise that generates billions of dollars in revenue year over year over year if you're saying, hey, man, we can't operate these colleges and these athletic departments by skipping one season of college football? Like, it's ridiculous. I don't get it.
Yeah, well, I don't think you're going to have agreement on this either. I can't imagine that there would be I don't even want to begin to attempt a percentage, but I think it's going to be close to 50-50 would be my suspicion, that for everybody who says, hey, we got to make money the priority. Look at the television revenue we're not going to get here. We're hurting big time. We're already losing tuition money. We got to have some flowage here to sustain ourselves. But I think there will be cooler heads and more conservative thoughts from a high percentage of institutions as well. I don't think you're going to get anything close to consensus here either way. No matter how tough things are financially, I'd like to believe there still would be a high percentage of universities in this country that would place the safety of their student athletes priority. And until there's an effective vaccine, you're not going to have 100% certainty of safety. So I don't even know if it makes sense for the rest of the calendar year. And what I was hoping for was the proposal that suggested college football begin in February. That made right. the most sense. That gives everybody ample time to prepare a schedule, to do everything that you would need to do to make a college football season happen. And it's a much more generous timeline to give things a chance to sort themselves out here. I don't, you know, it's 100% from greed. That there's no other explanation for it, is that they feel the financial hit from this thing and they are willing to sell their souls for the revenue they get from putting their university's football games on TV. That's it. That's all it is.
I agree, but, like, there is some level of oversight that needs to exist. And what that would mean, like, just the logical breakdowns are everywhere. So you're saying that college football can happen, but what about college soccer? What about college volleyball? What about swimming? What about, like, every other fall sport that goes on? Are you telling me that all of those don't happen, but the only one that happens is college football because you need the money? That's insane.
They never would be so transparent, but that would be the right answer, because you're not going to tell your field hockey team to show up in September.
Right?
That's
you're taking
gonna,
biology online, right. but you got to come play lacrosse. Like, it's insane.
We had a really good field team at Ball State too. Field hockey team. The girls were terrific. Man, they were fun to watch. They were ranked. But there's no. You got to be honest with people if that's what you're going to do. And a texter says it's not greed, it's survival. Okay, that's probably a better way of phrasing it. You're right. I did choose the word greed. That's probably not accurate.
But
survival at too heavy of a price for me.
But hold on a second. What? Do we really believe that these universities that we're talking about here, right, that Brett McMurphy is talking about, he's talking to the Big Ten commissioner, the SEC commissioner, the Pac-12, he's talking about the big boys, right, Power Five. No one cares about D3 sports. That's not what Brett McMurphy is reporting on Paul Feinbaum's show. These are universities that have 9-figure endowments across the board.
Or do we really believe? Because Jeff Schwartz is a buddy of mine. He played NFL offensive lineman for a number of different teams, and he does some college sports analyst work. And I was tweeting about this earlier today, and he reached out, and he was like, if you miss – if college football doesn't happen for a year, these athletic departments are not profitable, all of the other sports just go away. And I'm like, I don't believe that for a second. Like, I don't believe that if we miss one season of college football in 2 years, there's no longer college soccer or baseball or volleyball or, like, sports that don't make money. Like, they'll just – they'll make it up. They'll start bringing in the revenue later, and then they'll restart the programs. Like, I just – these universities have so much money in reserve. The athletic departments have to – appear to break even for tax purposes, and that's why you can build a $300 million athletic facility along the lakefront at Northwestern and then be like, hey, we broke even last year. Well, yeah, you built a $300 million practice facility. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you didn't really break even. That just counts in your expenditures. So I don't know. I don't believe that all of these people within the NCAA who pay, you know, bowl game commissioners high six-figure incomes for one, you know, for the Fiesta Bowl and the Pinstripe Bowl. I don't believe that they're going to go poor and never be able to restart college sports because they miss one college football season. They'll be fine.
I don't know. I've never looked into this. I've never, you know, I have no idea how much universities, what percentage of their kick is generated from football contracts via television. I don't know. I assume it to be substantial, but I might be overvaluing it. You could be right.
I don't know, man. These
universities, a lot of people are crying poor right now. There's cutbacks all over the place. It's in every industry, including higher education. It's everywhere.
Absolutely. I know that it's everywhere, and people and kids are going to take gap years, and international students are not going to be able to travel in, and it's going to mess up. It's going to mess. I'm not saying that the colleges are not going to feel a massive financial squeeze from this. Obviously, it is affecting everyone. I'm not naive to that. What I am saying, though, is that all of a sudden, if one college football season ended, was canceled, got delayed, whatever the case may be, the revenue was severely truncated, we wouldn't be looking at, oh, there's no more swim team ever again. Like, that is such a boogeyman in the closet argument that the NCAA would trot out to say, yeah, you know, campuses aren't open, but you know who could come back? The left guard. It's just ridiculous.
I know our priorities are really, you know, how bad our priorities are really okay. Are starting to surface here at this point. What's up, Shep?
It just that would speak to, though, what we know about the NCAA to a degree, wouldn't it? Of just, would you put it past them? Do you feel confident at least in putting it past them? Of kind of like how some big businesses operate. They see COVID-19, they see pandemic across the country or worldwide, and they use it as a convenience to, oh, well, maybe we can cut some budgets here and we can disguise it as just this not being available. Like, do you feel safe in putting it past the NCAA from what we know about them to not do such a move?
Probably not.
No, they're unbelievably greedy. And so that's why it's a story. It's like, oh, this was a story out of The Onion, but it's the NCAA, so you have to at least pretend like it's possible. I agree with you. If anyone could pull it off, it would be the Olympic Committee, FIFA, or the NCAA, right? Those would be the three. I just don't think that they would be prepared for the very real arguments that would come after it. These would be professional athletes if you do that. Like, if you say the only false, but they're not prepared to make that argument, Shep. Like, they're not prepared to give up their tax breaks and say that football gets extra scholarships compared to, you know, women's sports, and abolish Title IX and have the Big Ten pull away from the NCAA and operate as a pro sport league. They're not – I don't think they're prepared for all of that.
Because it's – what I think I find interesting of it, too, is you have guys like James Franklin from Penn State that are going out this week And I'm not sure how things are in central Pennsylvania, where Penn State's located, in terms of this virus and numbers and counts and totals. But he's saying that he thinks that the conferences, obviously Penn State being in the Big Ten, but conferences shouldn't wait around. If there's teams that are in conferences or schools that are in conferences that are hit harder and they're not ready to go at the start of the year, that teams that happen to be in cities or states where the outbreak isn't as great or isn't as significant, they shouldn't pay the price. So he almost wants to look at it as, sorry, Pat Fitzgerald, I know Chicago is a hotbed for COVID-19, but too damn bad. We're ready to play football. It just sucks that the city of Chicago or Evanston isn't. Or sorry, Jim Harbaugh up in Ann Arbor, just outside of Detroit. I know that there's the outbreak that's significant there. We're good to go here. So rest of the conference, I guess you just can't play football this year because all things are fine in central Pennsylvania.
Yeah, but how stupid of an argument is that? Not everyone who goes to college in Happy Valley is from Happy Valley.
I fully agree with you, but he's spewing the nonsense left and right all week.
Yeah, I don't know. I will remain on my island where apparently Brett McMurphy is telling me that that's no longer the conventional wisdom. I think college sports this year are, in the fall anyway, are done. I don't see it
making sense. Do I think it's a possibility? Sadly, yes, because of everything we're discussing. And to just augment this conversation with one other nugget, there are universities all over this country, athletic departments, university presidents, that are right now asking coaches to take pay cuts, and they are some pretty established coaches who have been told by their universities, you know what, we're gonna have to do something here. We're just like everybody else. We've been injured terribly by the coronavirus. You're gonna have to take a little bit of a pay hit here, and that's, I assume, in the coaching fraternity not settling well with some of the guys because they are used to being, you know, chief commanding officer in their given towns. That's how they've been treated for many, many years, and it's just gotten worse over the years.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me at all. And pay cuts and delays and all of that to me is obvious. I will be very impressed in like a weird, craven sort of way if the NCAA can figure out a way to do some mental gymnastics and sell it that campuses are closed,
mm-hmm.
fall sports are canceled, except, you know, Power 5 football.
Right.
How would you possibly sell that to anybody?
Perish the thought of a fall without the Red River shootout. You can't do that. You know, I want to say something about we don't get this text very often. I don't hear this thought expressed as often as I used to, but it is out there, so I want to hit it. An 815 texter says, college football players get a free education at a big-time school. Why should they get paid? There is nothing free. I'll make this brief. There's nothing free about a college football player's education. He pays for that and pays for it dearly by way of his time and the toll it takes on their bodies to varying degrees. Some of them won't walk right at the age of 35 from their college football experience, and they generate millions and millions and millions of dollars. And that's the reason why there are some university presidents' conferences who want to step on the gas on getting this back out there, because that's how valuable they deem this to be. So don't make the mistake of thinking that's a free education. It isn't.
Yeah, it's very simple. Just what other industries generate high nine figures, if not 10 figures, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars a year of revenue without paying their workforce? You're not going to love your answers. Mm-hmm. It's like organized religion and prisons. Like that, you know, that's where we are. So
you hate the answers.
That's what I'm saying. Like that's what it is.
The
so,
town surfacing early and often today.
Love the town. I'm just jealous of your town room. Like, I just love the thought. Like there's just flowers everywhere, and there's Halloween masks on the wall. Plenty of weaponry.
Playing house up there would shine.
Exactly. And the town is just playing on a loop at all times.
Got a heavyset guy named Rusty with a tattoo of the Italy on his forearm, sitting there with a sawed-off shotgun greeting my guests.
Thoughts and prayers to you, Mac, if that's your bodyguard.
Yeah, no kidding. Good luck with that. He's asleep at the switch all too often.
That was the anti-Shep Princess Bride take when Danny noted that the florist's bodyguard was real slow to the trigger, that he needed better security. Yeah. I think about that every single time I see that scene now.
The florist loyal to a fault, world renowned.
Yeah, it's well known. Oh, man. This is just a brief note here. To get a sense, this is from Dan Wojcicki, the LA Times NBA beat writer. He says, so the Raptors are one of the teams that are allowed to open up their facilities, as NBA teams in some places are going to begin to start opening it up on a limited basis.
Jersey number one is going to the Raptors.
That's right. They released like what the criteria is to begin to open up their practice facility. You ready for this? Access is intended to allow players time on the court for activities such as shooting that generally cannot be done at home. The court is the only area that will be used by players and coaches. Locker rooms, weight rooms, medical facilities, and office and other areas of the building will remain closed. Through NBA guidelines that will allow for four players at a time in practice facilities, the Raptors have determined at this time we will just have one player in a time at our building, in our building at a time. The player will be accompanied by one coach. There will be no overlap between groups. Staff members will wear gloves and masks at all times. Players will wear masks at all times except when on the court. A thorough cleaning of all spaces and equipment, including basketballs, will take place before and after each player uses the building. Symptom and temperature checks will be done by team medical staff before anyone enters the facility. There will be no media, public, or general staff access to the building, and security will be in place outside the facility to ensure physical distancing and the safety of everyone on site. That's just to let one NBA player in to do shooting drills with one coach.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of work to let a guy shoot for a little bit. But
we're far away.
Yeah, it seems like they've checked every box with that plan they outlined there.
Agreed. That definitely sounds reasonable. Safe.
Yeah, it does. And you think it's a little bit of a waste of time? Maybe could be.
Well, you know, what else do they have to do but to plan for those sort of contingencies, right? Like, oh, we're allowed to open? Okay, here's how we'll try to open. But just I thought it highlighted it pretty well. It's like, okay, if that's where we're at for a pro sports league, right, guys getting paid to practice shooting a basketball, think about how far away we are for amateur athletes to play college football and travel and playing games. And Dabo Swinney, by the way, still says there's going to be 80,000 people in college football stadiums in August.
You said gloves. Are they going to be shooting with gloves?
No,
You can't shoot with a glove, even if it's a little. They like the feel of the leather on the pores of their skin.
No, not while they're on the court. Okay. They can take the gloves and the masks off on the court.
Good.
But
yeah, let's put them in gloves and have them shoot.
That's what Bill Cartwright was missing all those years. Jordan would have thrown him the ball. He would have had the stick him on him like he was a wide receiver. But yeah, man, it's wild to watch this.
I didn't want the ball going to Bill Cartwright.
That's what I'm saying.
F that.
It's not an equal opportunity offense. All right, coming up, Shep has a special surprise for Score Stories. They all know it. I have no idea. It's next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Next on the score.
The McNeil and Parkin Show.
Today's our feel-good fast Friday.
Afternoons on the score.
This segment on the score brought to you by Ameripro Roofing, standards through the roof. Coming up at 4 o'clock, a guest from the Chicago Tribune, where if you care about sports journalism or journalism in general in the city of Chicago, you'll want to be listening. But I have no idea what we're about to do right now. I am the over-planner, a little bit of a control freak when it comes to 2 to 6. I have no idea what's about to happen, so I'm at your mercy, Dan McNeil.
Let's punch a button then. Who can it be on the Alpamonte Ford hotline? Alpamonte Ford is located in Melrose Park, and it is not draft day Sunday. It is Mother's Day. Hello, Patty.
Hey, Mac. How you doing today?
I am outstanding. Danny, recognize that voice on the other end?
Of course I do. Hi, Mom. How are you?
Hi, babe. I feel a little bit like, what is it, Beth Stern? Is that her name?
Yes.
Yeah, Beth Stern, Howard's wife. I mean, yeah, there's a few differences. Howard's mom has been on the air a number of times.
Okay, but I feel better about it. I wasn't sure how you'd take it.
Yeah, and Howard is Danny's hero, so if it worked for Howard, it'll work for Danny.
That's right.
I know Danny has talked to us about how difficult this has been for you guys not to spend time around your grandson, and I'm sure that's especially going to be on your mind this weekend. But happy Mother's Day in advance, and I'm going to let Danny talk a little bit here about what he admires most about you, Patty, because I'm sure it's a very, very long list. Danny, Mother's Day weekend. Be nice here, buddy.
Thank you, Mac. I put on the spot. I'm a little embarrassed, but no.
Hi, Mom! Yes,
this is my mom. No, it has been very hard, Mom, I know, for you not to be able to see Owen often, but you were always such a great mom to me and Megan and Amy, and, you know, Mother's Day I know is very special to you, and we would, you know, we'd go to the zoo or we would do family outings. It wasn't always the biggest gift holiday in our house. We were the Jewish kids who celebrated Christmas, but it was always just like whatever you wanted to do on Mother's Day, and so I'm sorry we're not going to all be together, but you know how much I love you.
Oh, I do. And I'm going to miss you and that little nugget that looks just like you.
Doesn't he, though?
I know.
He really does. It's a cartoon character. If he could draw a cartoon. What was Danny like in 4 or 5 months? Hey, there he is. Hi. In a bull's cap.
Great. A total mini-me. There's no question about it. So I definitely will miss you. But all I have to do is look at Owen and I see you as a baby.
That is, hopefully, Steph and I can be half as good of parents as you and Dad were, and he will be very, very lucky if that is the case. I grew up very privileged, but it wasn't just because of how hard you guys worked. It was because of how present you were as parents, and I was supported to do pretty much anything that I wanted to do. Like, you know, I could count on, like, one hand the number of times that you got real mad at me for something, but you were always supportive. If I said I was going to be the
the white guy who shot threes for the Bulls, you were like, sure, you could grow up to be John Paxson, even though I was skinny, white, and Jewish with a bad back.
I was kind of hoping for that.
Yeah, right. You'd be retired right now. But no, but that, like, when I chose to do this, like, it's totally ridiculous. And you guys supported it the entire way and funded my education. And, you know, I know I haven't paid you back quite yet for that yet, but not even close. But it's that amount of support, I know, is rare. And I hope I never took it for granted.
Well, you're so sweet, Danny, and I really appreciate it. And actually, you living your dream is payback enough. Oh, so it makes me very happy. I remember
you were the first person I called when I got the job in Chicago, and how excited you were. Like, you reiterated it back to me when I was like, yeah, I got the job. And you were like, the score, Chicago? I'm like, yeah, that was the job that we were talking about. But like, you had to like say it over and over again, like, Chicago, you're coming home. And I just remember like that unbelievable like sense of accomplishment that I was like, yes, I did it. I'm coming home to be back by family and friends.
Well, that's where you belonged, and you're my baby boy. Of course I wanted you to come home.
That's
Patty,
right.
As a father of kids who just a few years ago were picking colleges, I'd be curious to learn from you. Danny choosing radio and television, I'm sure you and Tom had conversations about that. Was it real easy for you to get on board such a high-risk occupation in terms of ever making any money, or was there some watershed event? Maybe Danny Davis said, nah, he's gonna figure this out. No worries. He's going to make a lot of money in this business.
In the business? I'd always hoped he'd live his dream, but did he ever tell you about Dan Bernstein speaking at his radio banquet when he was in high school?
I think he has mentioned it, yeah.
Yeah, it was at, what's that restaurant?
Hackney's.
Yeah, Hackney's.
No, I vividly remember him looking in the audience and asking if anybody planned on making it their career, and you were the only one who raised your hand, and Dan looked at your dad and me and said, sure hope you have supportive parents.
Yeah.
You're wrong.
Yeah, and when I told Bernstein about it, he claimed to remember, and he's like, how was I? And I'm like, you didn't paint the rosiest picture of it, but you wouldn't be Dan Bernstein if you painted a rosy picture. So yeah. I always appreciated it.
My guess is he may have signed his biggest contract ever just about then. So I don't know.
Right. Yeah, that was the glory days of radio. That's a very good point.
Yeah. Well, let's hear about the trouble young Danny Parkins gave mom and dad growing up. Pretty square during high school. Didn't start to dabble until the Syracuse days. But what was the give us a story about when you really wanted to wring his neck.
Oh, that's easy. Fifth grade. Didn't do an... Remember the...
You do an Explorer A to Z?
Explorer A to Z project. That's right. You had to come up with something for each letter of the alphabet. It was really a busy work public school project, now that I think about it. But it was, you know, something for each letter of the alphabet, whether it be, you know, a picture or a drawing or something from a website. And he came home and told me he needed to do it the day before it was due. So I probably used every swear word he had ever heard and then sung that night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was like M for Magellan and stuff like that. And then I was like, I don't know how to do this, and I haven't started. And she said, when is it due? And it was due the next day. And just the anger that I was scared of my mother for like the next 5 years as a result of that. But yeah, Mac, I was good.
He was good. It was just academic stuff. He didn't do anything bad, Mac. I'm sorry. He didn't do anything really bad. They used to drink like juice boxes in the basement when they played poker, even in high school.
Never borrowed the car and came home with bloodshot eyes and maybe a little beer on his breath or anything like that?
No, in high school, no. Nice. Sorry. Worst thing the kids ever did was right before they went to college, and they rented the apartment in Evanston for cash money and had a party pad. But that was it.
That was a good time. That was a good time.
That was pretty, I thought that was pretty genius, though. By then, I kind of gave them a lot of credit for pulling it off.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And then, you know, like, yeah, like summers being home from college when mom and dad would like come downstairs at 5 a.m. to get ready to drive to work. And the refrigerator was open and the ice cream was sitting on the counter. I'm sure she was just like, God, my son is such an idiot pothead. But like I was, you know, at that point. What was she going to do?
Actually, I had already done my part by then.
Yeah, they contributed, yeah, a little bit. But, you know, I was a loser. Mac.
Late bloomer. No, you were a late bloomer, honey. You were just a late bloomer.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
It's Mother's Day this Sunday. Danny Parkins' mom, Patty, is on with us on The Score. Danny, what's a quality your mother possessed as a parent that you would like to take with you into your life as a parent, now that you are one?
Well, we already referenced one of them. I mean, she was supportive. Like, that's the most obvious one. She was supportive even if there were things that were, like, bad ideas, right, or long shots, right? Journalism school, where my sister, you know, my middle sister wanted to go, she ended up going to Clemson, and she was like, she wanted to go somewhere away and somewhere warm. Like, is that the most sensible way to pick a college? Maybe not, but like just supportive and encouraging and just always like reassuring that like the direction that we were going to go, we were going to work out, I think is one thing. And then work ethic, like she would wake up every day and, you know, kind of made me not want to do what they did, you know, work in the market and stuff like that. But wearing business suits and carrying home her research paper over her shoulder and working in a Wolf of Wall Street type of environment as a woman and being as successful as she's been for 30 something years and providing an amazing life for me and my two sisters, like it's impossible for that work ethic not to wear off on you. I mean, I would wake up in the morning and my parents would be gone, but there was often like a note by where I would eat breakfast. And then I had to, you know, I had to call my mom. I knew all of her secretaries by name, had to call my mom before I went off to school to talk about, you know, what was going to happen that day. And then I'd get home from school and they still weren't home from work, but, you know, always cooking dinner on Friday nights. And like, it was pretty amazing to see her work 12-hour mm-hmm. days and still be as present in me and my sister's life as she was. So I'd say work ethic and then just overall being very, very supportive.
You're making me cry, buddy. Thank you.
You were a great mom. You are a great mom. But, you know,
well, I appreciate that.
I need you a little less these days, so I know that sometimes that's hard. But yeah, you were a great mom. I think I've let you know that over the years. I hope I have.
Absolutely. Don't believe me. I wish you were all sheltering in place right here. I'd have all of you at home. We'd probably last about, what, 4 days? You'd bet the over-under?
Yeah,
you'd
yeah, I don't. On it.
She says yeah. Over-under.
Yeah, I don't. Awesome. I feel badly. I miss you guys. But with FaceTime and Zoom, and I promise you, we will take you up on babysitting Owen often as soon as this is over, because Steph and I are definitely ready for some extended breaks and some adult time. But I don't know about getting the whole family together.
I can't wait to get a hold of that little nugget. No offense. I can't wait to see you and Steph, but it's the little guy I'm anxious to really hold.
Patty, I want to ask you a question about Danny.
Oh.
As a young kid, and all of us have traumatic experiences, and most of us anyway have traumatic experiences. His was physical with the scoliosis and all of the surgeries, and I assume that has a lot to do, because I spend my time thinking about people I'm around a lot and what fuels them psychologically. I assume that had a lot to do with his drive professionally. I'm guessing he displayed to you a lot of mental toughness during some of those tough times, and having a setback after coming so far after one of the big procedures. That's when character is defined. Tell us a little bit about those days.
Oh, you're touching on one of the hardest times of my life. But no question. Danny was already doing radio at New Trier when we went through that. And so, yeah, he showed tremendous character and grit going through all of that. And I think it helped our relationship, you know, to get closer. But no, I'll never forget. He had a call time for a minor procedure between the two major procedures. And we had to be downtown at 8:30. And he went on the air and did a show from 7 to 8. And we got there a few minutes late. And his doctor understood because he insisted on being sure he could do the show. So he wasn't ever going to let it get him down. He just always overcame it.
And I developed sports gambling in the midst of all of it. So.
It is true. You did do that. That much to my chagrin. Yes, you may have been the only person with an offshore betting account at 14.
Yeah. 16. Or 15.
Okay, 16. Yeah, 15. Yeah, there you go. Put it with you. 15.
Whoever would have had Danny Parkins in the pool for who tells his surgeon, I'll be a few minutes late. I've got a show to get on the air and take care of. I've got closing credits. That's awesome.
Yeah, well, and Mac,
so you, Parkins.
It was very me, and you know, talk about a supportive mom. I haven't thought of this story in a long time, but my mom gave me a gift before the surgery, and you remember this, mom, right? I assume.
Yes.
She on a vacation. I don't remember where it was. Mexico, I think. It was on a beach. She had befriended someone who was high up, like a female executive at Victoria's Secret, and she got a Heidi Klum autographed picture, and it was like to Danny, hugs and kisses, Heidi Klum with a big heart, and it's Heidi Klum in like a black, you know, lingerie set, and I'm, you know, getting prepped with the anesthesiologist. I'm 15 years old, getting ready for the big surgery, and my mom gives me this, and she's like, "Sweet dreams." I'm like, oh my god! So I mean, that's a pretty cool mom in the children's hospital, getting ready for an 8-hour surgery to go under, getting the autographed picture from Heidi Klum and some lingerie. So that was my mom.
You did get a lot of attention from the residents that day, Danny.
That's true. They did come by. They were. They had never quite seen something quite like that at Children's Hospital. So no,
Patty, Microsoft back in business. Should I buy more today?
Yeah, no stock tips, babe. Sorry.
Yeah, that's not allowed. That is not allowed. Man, it is, Mom, I know it's going to be a tough Mother's Day for you, but I'm glad Mac had this idea, and I love you very much.
It was a great idea. Thank you. It made me feel great. I appreciate it. And when Shep texted me, and he was very formal about it, I said, come on, you guys are all family already. So.
Oh, wow. Did he hit you with like a Mrs. Parkins, or what did he hit you with?
Well, no, just, you know, I think it was Nicholas Shepkowski, and I was like, I know who it is, Shep. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, she listens.
Nicholas, wow.
Yeah, she's a P1. Not in the demo, but she is she is very much a P1.
She would have gotten Nikki Dum Dum just.
Yeah, no, she would have gotten it. Mom, I love you. Thank you.
I love you
this.
Too, babe. Have a good show. Take care.
All right, you
thank
too. Happy
you,
Mother's Day. Wow, that was very nice of you, Mac. Thank you, and Shep, and Tanny, and
Shep,
everybody.
Shep had a great idea, and I thought, absolutely. He says, I know Danny ain't crazy about surprise. I said, yeah, let's do it.
No, yeah, you know, I just like it, to man. Prep. I like to prep, so I can prep talking to my mom. I've been prepping for that my entire life.
Didn't figure you needed any on that, so that was good. That's good, and that is definitely stuff from your childhood that stays with you, and man, I couldn't imagine what it was like to go through all that physical stuff. So kudos to you.
Yeah, and honestly, my mom was, you know, could not have done it without her. She, amazing, just like as a medical resource and being there every single day for every single, I mean, did not miss anything. Like when the nurse was over at the house to explain how to administer the PICC line IVs, the little procedures, the checkups, the x-ray, like every single thing. Just like, you know, she would take a business call and then hang up and do the thing. She was just always there. So she was is a great mom. But, you know, in your formative years is when it matters most. And so, yeah, she was a great mom to me and my sisters. And so it was very nice of you to do that, even if it was a little awkward on Mother's Day. Shep saying it was not Nicholas. Oh, did she throw you under the bus a little bit there? Let me see. Got some texts here.
Just calling your mom a liar. No biggie.
Calling my mom a liar. Okay. All right. Fine. Well, I am blushing at home. Thank you. Thankfully, we're not on Brian Kirch's video stream, but that was fun.
Yeah,
we got the journalism.
In my pajamas. Yeah, people wouldn't want to see that.
Yeah, I mean, I actually put pants on one time now since this has all started when I was meeting with Mitch the other day.
Is that right?
Yeah, I wore real pants to meet our boss for a social distancing meeting the other day. It was very uncomfortable. I thought I was going to be wearing sweats throughout this entire thing. And I shaved. I shaved for my wife last weekend. So.
How about that? That's
I know.
Good. Yeah, that thing, you know, did you take a picture before you finally got rid of that mess?
Oh, of course.
I
shaved everything except the mustache just to take a picture with just the mustache. And then I shaved it. It looks, God. It's real. Chester the Molester style. It's not good. It's not good. It looks like I should own a white van and my son isn't mine. Like,
put it out there on Twitter. Why don't you tweet it? Come on.
I don't know.
Come on, tweet it. What do you care? Have some fun.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Why not?
Give me something.
Little peer pressure never hurt anybody. All right. I love you, Mom. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. It's Mac and Park. It's on the score.
Mom's away, the cats will play, whatever that expression is. What is that expression?
God. Oh, man. I think the redness is out of the cheeks a little bit. But that was fun, Mac. I Shep, thank you. That was fun. You're always, you know, a little hesitant to open up just private corners of your world. We share so much on the show. It's a little different breaking down that fourth wall, but that was fun. My mom's got some radio chops.
Yes, she was very, very good. She was good, and I'm glad you had such a wonderful experience with her, and she was there for you when you went through tough things growing up, and I'm grateful for all of the things that I had from a good mom and all of you this weekend who are celebrating Mother's Day to the best of your abilities. Happy Mother's Day weekend, man. It's been 40 years since I've had a chance to enjoy one the right way, but I was lucky as a kid in that regard. And those of you who are going through Mother's Day weekend without your mom for the first time, my heart goes out to you. What we do with the time after tragedy is what makes us, is what helps us accept the things we can't change. So use that time wisely. And what helps me is to be grateful for all of the good things and let go of all of the bad things, because there are a good, healthy, there's a big pile of both in being a son or a daughter or a mom or a dad. So happy Mother's Day to everybody.
That is very well said. It is a good thing to remember that these days are not easy for everyone, right? They're not celebratory for everyone. So that is very well said. The Chicago Tribune is going through some really tough times, and not just recently because of COVID-19, though that too. One of the sports editors who is involved in their union negotiations is going to join us to talk about how the pandemic is impacting the newsroom, the sports department, but on a big picture, what's happening at the Tribune with Alden Capital Hedge Fund taking over the majority ownership stake of the Tribune. This is a story that if you care about journalism in the city of Chicago, you will want to hear next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.